issue. So the modern Zionists criticized the Yishuv HaYoshev that was founded by the Talmidei Agro and Talmidei Baal Shem Tov. Even though these Talmidei, I'm not saying that the modern Chalutzim, the Belutzes, did not show Mesiras Nefesh. But how can you compare the Mesiras Nefesh shown by the modern Chalutzim, the Belutzim, Bes Yaakov, the Chubin Eruchov, with the Mesiras Nefesh, Talmidei Agro, and Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, the Mesiras Nefesh shown by the Bishol Shkrov, the Talmid of the Gro, who wrote the Sefer Pasashuchon and Dine Arts Israel, Mitzvah Satruis Boaz, and who went there and he risked cholera. In those days, cholera was prevalent in Palestine, and so many of his children, his first wife, died from cholera. How can you compare all the Mesiras Nefesh done by the modern Zionists, even with Mohammed Sashiho, with that Mesiras Nefesh? Still they criticize. Ah, why did they come to Eretz Yisrael? To die in Eretz Yisrael? We have to go to Eretz Yisrael to live in Eretz Yisrael. It's true, we have to go to Eretz Yisrael in order to live in Eretz Yisrael. But if not for the Yishuv HaYoshev, there would never have been a Yishuv HaChodesh. There never would have been a Balfour Declaration. The Chassidim Seilam have to be inspired too. In a vacuum, Balfour, Woodrow Wilson, Mazarek, Jean Mazarek, Thomas Mazarek, so Wedgwood, a member of the British Parliament. So they had to be inspired. What inspired them? The fact that there was a Moras HaMachpelah, which was the burial plot for all the others, and it was the place towards which Jews gravitated throughout the generations. The rabbis, and of course that's the first place, and the other side, the second side, was Moras HaMachpelah. The third side was Kibbutz. Jews, 200 years ago, walked for half a year through Turkey, through Greece, you know, through Cyprus, to Palestine, because of these attracting spiritual sites. There would never have been, Balfour would not have been inspired. And this is why Chai Soro discusses great things, not trivial things. Now the union of Shidach, of course, a Shidach among Shlemi Muni Yisrael is not just a Shidach for companionship and to have children. It is to build the Knesset Yisrael. The greatest thing is on the same level as the Akedah, as all the other cities. Now, let's discuss. I want to discuss three things in Chaisal. By you, as a matter of fact, you could discuss every shulet, but it takes too much time. By you, Chaisal, Meir Shana, V'eshrim shana, v'sheva shonim shnei chayisah. So Rashi says, how is it that the Torah spells out Meir shana separately, eshrim shana separately, sheva shana separately? After all, there is no superfluous letter, superfluous dot in the Torah. If there is a superfluous
Since when
is the age of seven the symbol of outstanding beauty in Abraham? On the contrary, if you ask any person, Jew or Gentile, they'll tell you, so the Gentile has as much expertise as Jews, and perhaps more expertise. Certainly more expertise than observing Jews, but perhaps they have more expertise than non-Orthodox Jews. So you tell them that the age of 20 is much more symbolic of outstanding and striking beauty than the age of 7. That's Rabbi Shule Kutner's discussion. So Rabbi Shule Kutner said something very poignant and brilliant. A young girl of 20, if she's beautiful in a striking way and everybody she sees, everybody talks about her outstanding beauty, so it's unavoidable. Even if she's a fine girl, it's Nuye, mother's girl. So she becomes vain. How is that possible? Not to become vain. But the little girl of 7, no matter how beautiful she is, and even if everybody in her presence talks about her outstanding, striking beauty, she does not become conscious. It's like Rabbi Shule Kutner says, in regard to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah says that his face radiated light. Everybody knew about it. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Adin Kohen Bim, who knew everything. He didn't know this. So that's what the Torah says. Bas Hof Ki Bazayim Yev. Sora was an outstanding, beautiful woman. When she was half, everybody, all the goyim, all the pagans talked about her striking beauty. And she heard it. She didn't become arrogant. She didn't become vain. The way they talked about her striking beauty when she was 7 years old. That I would like to discuss in this address by your comma form of the Macy. By Dabel Mechislin, Gaya Visesha Bonechi Moch. I'm a Gaya. What's a Gaya? An alien. A foreigner who comes to a different country. What does Gaya mean? The Ben Ezra in his Peru Chantilly, Periklam Zion says, that Geir is derived grammatically, al pidigduk, from the term gar gir, a seed, a kernel. Just as a gar gir, a kernel, is exposed to the elements of nature, and they can throw it away, wash it away, everything. So a foreigner is also helpless. He has no protection. He's exposed to the elements of nature, and he's exposed to the possibility of falling prey to hostile people, cruel, ruthless people with no compassion, no consideration, who are selfish, like to exploit everybody. So that's Geir. Seishov means not only a resident, cities. Now, the more in Bulgaria you have preached it yet, the more it makes a distinction between Yeshua, Gabir Nidachas. So, when do they become Yeshua? The dwellers of the city, if they have dwelt in the city for at least 30 days, but the Gabi Texas, you have to be a citizen. Can't impose taxes on a resident of the city who is just a visitor, unless he said you'd be Israelish. So, Seishov means a citizen, either a born citizen or a naturalized citizen. So it's a still of Neil Bay. Geir indicates the phenomenon of helplessness, of being exposed to the elements of nature and to the brutality of cruel, ruthless, sometimes sadistic people and tyrants. Teshuv, on the contrary, means one who has roots in his city. How can one be double the fuche at the same time? Well, that's the sort of the survival of the Jewish people, of the survival of one kid, Gdi, among 70 wolves. How did the Jewish people survive throughout the ages, in Mitzrayim, in Golis Bobel, in Golis Titus, during the medieval ages, during the modern ages, in Soviet Russia, and even in the course of the Holocaust in Germany, by the Nazis, they wiped out 6 million Jews. But Am Yisrael Chai. In Israel now, you have a more flourishing bells and gear and yeshivas, tells and brisk and mir and Lublin and whatnot. In the European town. How they survive among 70 wolves? Even wolf is an understatement. Describe the persecution and the discrimination and the humiliation and the pogroms. Because the Jewish people had their approach when they were confronted with Palestinians. Who was Ephraim? A chief of Palestinians in Hebron. Ephraim was a civilized human being. He was not Abdul of Abdullah's like Arafat, Mahshme, or Assad, or even Mubarak. Ephraim, I would say, was like King Hussein. Not that King Hussein is a Chafetz Chaim, but on a relative scale, he's a big tzaddik. As he himself said, he's following the footsteps of his grandfather, Abdullah. Abdullah was assassinated by Arab Rishoy. Why? Because he wanted to make peace with Israel. So on a relative scale, he's a big tzaddik. So Ephron was like Abdullah and like King Hussein of Jordan. So when he was confronted, but still, Lochal Mishim Sinai, Sheis of Sinai Yaakov, so he said, you are ready to negotiate for a burial plot, but as you wonder, how is it possible to coexist with each other? It's not a burial plot for 10 years, 50 years. It's for millenniums. How can there be peaceful, cooperative coexistence between us and you? You are different people, different culture, different aspirations, different religion, altogether different. There is one way. I am ready to follow up the approach of Gaelic Sage. I believe that basically I am Gary Gargir, a kernelly seed who is helpless against the elements of nature, certainly against the brutality of the tyrants, of the cruel, ruthless Rishoyim. But I don't become desperate. Why? Because on one hand I feel like a gear, on the other hand I feel like a patient. Because two reasons. One reason is the main reason, because Almighty God gave it to me and to my descendants. Second reason, because I'm ready for Mesiras Nefesh, and I'm confident that that spirit of Mesiras Nefesh for us, Israel, will go beyond. But as the Baruch Turin points out, we find the term, the expression used in the Torah for inheritance is Yerusha. Yerusha le'isav nasati. But we find another term for inheritance. Not Yerusha moirosho. Moirosho is found, the Baruch Turin says, only twice in the Torah. One in Seder Veil, the Gabe Art Israel, the Rosha, in Shmei Seder Veil, and one in Zeisha Brocha in Freud, Teo Tzivo Lonu Moshe, the Rosha Kresia. I don't know how the Rosha is translated. The biblical translations in hers, I didn't look it up. Or in James Bible. Yerusha in English has to be translated into inheritance. Merosha has to be translated into heritage. There is a difference between inheritance and heritage. Inheritance is automatic. If the marriage, the father passes away, then the son gets it automatically. They don't have to do anything. Nor does the father have to do anything. On the contrary, if the father doesn't want a certain son to get his estates, then he has to leave a will. And the son certainly does not have to do anything. It's automatic. Heritage, Merosho, requires the mutual cooperation by the Meirish and the Yerish in order to impart, transmit spiritual things. To children, you have to raise the children properly, the father, the mother, and in order to be able to accept it, they have to be ready to accept it. They also have to be misunderstood. So that is our approach. On one hand, we feel that basically we are gay. God give it. but with the grace of God, so we can become teachables to show and establish roots in our soil in any land where we settle and contribute towards the people, towards the country, even towards the world. That was the approach of Avraham Avinu and of the Shleimei Emuni Yisrael throughout the ages. What does the Rabbin in Paris do? What do they say when they are confronted with Arafat, the Ark murderer and the Ark terrorist, with Assad? What do they say? They say, Atem Tishovi, you are Arafat, you get everything. We will be happy if we get a tiny little state, a New Yerushalayim. I mean, everything that we got in Melchemes HaShichum, but everything we took possession in the Melchemes, Sheishes HaYomim, you take! And the ridiculous, foolish, Paris foreign minister, the big person, the big diplomat, had the stupid chutzpah to say that until now Eretz Yisrael was a Eretz Zavaschol Futvosh for the Jewish people. Now it will be Eretz Zavaschol Futvosh for the Jewish people and for the Palestinians. So there's the lesson that the secular Zionists have to learn. But there is a lesson that we, the Rabbonim, the Rosh Yeshivas, the Shleimei Emuni Yisrael, the Bnei Torah have to learn. Mirosho cannot be realized by saying Tilly or even by learning day and night. The Rosho requires Maser HaStefesh. The Torah is supposed to go out. Yaakov Ishtom Yeshiv Olim. So the Sfuna said, doesn't say Yeshiv Eil. Yaakov didn't sit in the corner on his Bismedrash and learn Torah. The Chaznish didn't sit in the Brak and learn Torah for himself. Yeshiv Olim, for Hatzdok. You have to go out and occupy all other lorim. You have to go out on the college campus and reach out unto the assimilated Jews, the former children, conservative children, and be mashpia upon that. And don't think that it's so difficult. It's not difficult. It only requires missionary zeal. The Babich, the Rabbi Shluchim are not specially cultured people. And not all of them are big Talmid Chachamim. And even though every Lubavitcher speaks English well, but not every Lubavitcher speaks such a wonderful English. Still, I hope it will continue now. No one can be a Talmid without the Rebbe. So the Prasva Chassidim are the only Chassidim who don't have a Rebbe. So what they accomplish, the Prasva Chassidim? Minimum should be minimum. I hope that they will appoint more and more. And if they'll be there, Kishmur will be there. They'll find one. It's okay. So they are able to reach out unto the remotest Jews from assimilated homes, from homes where there was so much intermarriage. So that today's Netoy should also go out to the west, to the south, to the east, and reach out to the children for Miseras Nefesh. That's the way of Geya Visesha von Echimach. Okay, now, the last thing I would like to discuss is Vayivel Yitzchok Oyalo So Imei Vayikachas Rivko Vatil Yisho Vayivel Vayinochem Yitzchok Achayim. It's a very important thing. Rashi says Vayivel Oyalo Varei So Imei. The moment he brought her into her tent, so it seemed to him it's a replica. She's a replica of Saul. Vinasi Dugma Saul. She calls man what were the characteristics of Saul Imenu. Three things. She calls man she saw Kayemes Hoyonea Dolug Nerev Shabbos Larevah. Strange, the expression is a very strange expression. Every Jewish woman benches licht, but when a woman benches licht, so how many hours does the candle burn? 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. Lights a beacon, it can burn whole night. But on Shabbos, on Shabbos, you ever see that the Shabbos candle would burn from one Friday night to the other Friday night? So why do Chazal say, Olenea Doluk Me'arev Shabbos L'Arev Shabbos? The answer is, now we say that the Chadimora says that Yomorin Shabbos says, Yomorin Kimu Yisroya, the Jewish people had fulfilled the Mitzvah Shabbos, two Shabboses, so then the Gula would have come. It's contrary to the facts. Now, the bulk of Jewry, unfortunately, does not observe even one Shabbos. But during the Middle Ages, all the chores over to the Jewish people. The Jewish people fulfilled all the Shabboses of the year and the Gula didn't come. The answer is, it doesn't mean Shtei Shabboses, Parsha Bereishis and Parsha Neach, because it means the Shabbos atmosphere of the Shabbos day and the purpose of lighting the Shabbos candle. It's not only that Shabbos candles should shed light for the duration of the Shabbos day. The purpose is the Shabbos candles should shed light for the whole week. The Shabbos atmosphere has to prevail in the home, in the Jewish home, the whole week. Sunday, Monday, when a person goes to work on Monday, or when he meets Kraven Malchus, he sits in the cabinet like Kissinger, like Morgenthau. So he should be motivated by the Shabbos atmosphere of Menucho Gdusho. What's the Shabbos atmosphere? Two attributes. Menucho, rest. Rest for us, rest for the whole world. Even for the Chamei Ashvishos Vendee. But in a certain way, even the cattle has to to have rest, peace of mind. Even the environment, the inorganic world, the preservation of the environment, and nutrition. So that's one characteristic. Blessing prevails over the dough. What does that mean? We talk about the economy. There is unemployment and so many problems, economic problems. So no matter how many problems there are today, but in European town, when the Jews were so poor, so their problems were certainly much more severe. And still they are happy. Why? Because their joy of living. And then the third thing is, there was a big cloud hovering over the tent of Saul. The European statue, with all the problems and all the persecutions, with all the pogroms, a big honor, but it wasn't an ordinary honor. It was a divine honor, a cloud of love. So there's the third lesson. Now, when we are interested in finding, doing a good shidduch, we should look primarily for these three elements.